Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Notice there was a common theme running through these songs about the holiness of God. And we miss out so much on that. And we're going to go ahead and have a seat. We're going to go right into the word here, the message here. As we talk about how sometimes things get in the way of us being able to fully worship God. We do want to welcome you to St. Charles River Church. If this is your first time attending, there's a insert inside your bulletin. We ask that you would fill that out. As you notice, Pastor Barry is not with us this morning. Pastor Barry and Gina are down in Branson for the weekend, spending some time with Pastor Barry's dad, Billy. So we bless that and honor that, and we pray that they're having a great weekend. But he does send along his welcome to you. Anyway, we're going to jump right into the message. And I'm hoping that the message title kind of has piqued your interest a little bit about what is your emoji. We do so many various forms of electronic communications today. And as I was thinking back, you know, we have these things here that give us an amazing opportunity to talk to people anywhere in the world. And a lot of times we use them for anything but talking to people. And I was kind of thinking back of the history of the telephone. Remember, if you watch any of you old enough, they're in black and they're in reruns, so people maybe try to get your children, your grandchildren to watch them. I can't get Eli to watch anything that's black and white. But if I can get it in color, then he's okay. But remember the Andy Griffith Show? And when they wanted to make a phone call, they called Sarah. And then Sarah had to, you know, she does what she does, and she had to patch it. Now, you never saw Sarah, but you've seen other shows where you see the switchboard operator, they're unplugging here and plugging up here and trying to make that connection so that you could talk to that person. And then Sarah, she would be known for maybe kind of eavesdropping and kind of listening in and providing her own little input as what the conversation was. And then over time, our telephones evolved. Yes, I said the word evolved in church. And they became where, you know, they were mounted on a wall and you could actually call someone directly. And you had the old rotary dial. Then we got the push buttons. Those were fun, weren't they? But we still had that cord that kind of tied us down to a certain place. So then they became cordless, where we could walk around anywhere in the house and we could call someone. And then, like I said, we got these things. And many of us, I know I'm one, we don't even have a home phone anymore. 'Cause 99.9% of the calls we got on our home phone were garbage calls. So we just turn that off. Now we get garbage calls on our cell phone, but we can ignore those. But what happens is, because of these various ways that we can communicate electronically, we can send emails, we can send text messages, we can use our Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and that's how we communicate, and we don't talk to people directly, sometimes we miss out on the emotion of what's going on, what the other person is thinking when they're communicating with you. You know, it means so much more when you can sit there and you can look at someone face to face. You could read their face, you can see what they're feeling. Or even if you talk to them on the telephone, you know what's going on. But when you're sending a text message, sometimes you lose out. And some people, when I always try to like kind of ease into something, if I'm sending someone a text message, hey, how you doing? And then try to share with them. Some people just be real blunt. They'll just jump right into what they want to say. And sometimes you kind of take that, are they mad at me? Or, you know, you don't know. You don't know what the emotion is. And this is a problem. In 1982 at Carnegie Mellon University, where somebody posted something on a message board, it was intended to be a gag, and it was not received as a gag. And the content of it caused quite a stir, and people were getting all up in arms about what was on this message board. And once they finally realized, hey, I'm sorry, this was meant to be in jest, it was in fun, they said, okay, we need to come up with a way to kind of distinguish between that. So one of the leaders at the university suggested using emoticons when you're putting something on the message board. You know, and emoticons where you use some sort of character, you put a couple characters together and it's a smiley face or it's a frowny face or whatever. So you would use the emoticon for the smiley face if it was meant to be fun. And if it was meant to be serious, you'd use the emoticon for the frowny face. And emoticons have been around actually since, I was amazed to read this, since the 17th century. They've been around a long time. But just over the past 40 years or so where they've really become into vogue and into play. And then from the emoticon, we got the emoji. And if you look on your bulletin, you see just a small representation of the different emojis that are available to you. So that when you're sending someone a message, you can kind of put this little picture with it. And it gives them a little better feel where you're coming from, what you're feeling in that. Oftentimes, as we walk through life, our lives are like a walking emoji palette. People can look at us and they start seeing, well, something's not right with them. And that's okay because we're going to look at it a little bit later. We have problems in life. We go through struggles in life. We are not promised that everything's going to be all sunshine and lollipops. As we like to tease Bella, we have a hard time finding a movie that she can watch because it's all got to be rainbows and unicorns or otherwise she just won't watch it. There's even a little scariest thing in there. She's turned off by it. But how we present ourselves when we're going through these situations says a lot about how we're walking with God. And sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, we allow that to pull us away from our walk, our relationship with God. And that's the time we need to really be connected with Him. So as you know, I know I've shared this before, and a lot of times I will share lyrics from a song because worship songs speak so much to me when I'm going through stuff, and even when I'm not. But a worship song can really lift me up. I'll sit there and I'll stream music during the day when I'm working just to kind of keep me going and to keep me centered. And I even shared with a friend of mine earlier this week who's going through a tough time. There was a video I saw on YouTube of a song and it just like blew me away. And I shared that with that person because I said, I think this might be something that could help you as you're going through what you're dealing with right now. So I was watching there's a song by Hillsong called Even When It Hurts. And in the song, it comes right out, and that's what's in the chorus, says, even when it hurts, I will praise God. And as I was watching this one particular video of it, Taya Smith from Hillsong, she opened with a scripture before she went to it, and it's in Psalms chapter 69. So if you could turn there, and we'll get that on the screen. But it really reinforced what the song is trying to say is when you're going through the rough times, that about how important it is that you reach out and that you praise God. So in Psalms 69, starting in verse 29, it says, I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and its hooves. And that's really important right there because, you know, back at that time, so much of what a person's relationship was with God was reflected in the sacrifices that they made. They would make sacrifices on the altar and, you know, they were to bring the best of what they had, and they were to place that on the altar and sacrifice it to God. And as important as that was, as much as he looked for that, this passage of scripture right here talks about how much more important it is just to, when you're going through pain and suffering, that you praise him. Verse 32 says, the humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. And what I didn't do is I did not give verse 33. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 33. It says, for the Lord hears the cries of the needy. He does not despise his imprisoned people. When you're hurting and when you're in pain and you're crying out to God, he doesn't turn a blind eye. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to that cry. He turns to you. He listens and he's there to respond. And it's when we go through this and as how we respond kind of shapes who we are. And as I said, people see that. They see how we're responding to that hurt. And they're kind of looking at what we do. And when we turn it over to the Father, there's just such an amazing joy that's available to us. And that's what I'm going to look at the next passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. How we respond and how we are tested and purified. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. So be truly glad. And I want to stop right there for a second because I think it is so important how it says, be truly glad. There's a lot of translations say greatly rejoice. And the reason that's important is because if you're putting on a fake smile, a false front, people will see through that. Because again, they're reading the rest of that emoji that you're the walking emoji that you are. And they can tell that smile is not genuine. I don't want to disparage anybody, so that would be as very general as I can be because these people are doing, you know, they're entertainers. They're trying to, you know, reach people through entertainment, make people laugh. But there's a certain tourist area not too far from here that has lots of shows. And Carmen and I went to one of those once. And those people were just like, the whole time just doing this. And all I could think about was, you know, you see those, the ventriloquists with the dummies with the painted smiles that just creep you out. How many of you have seen Toy Story 4 yet? Yeah, so those, you know, the ones with the doll there, you know, and they got the little doll just doing this and just like, I'm like, oh, that is too freaky for me. We tease Eli when we're trying to take pictures because we can tell when he's has a hard time getting a smile, period. And so then he'll put that fake smile on and say, that's not real. Try to give me a real, genuine smile. So it says, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you will have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And I love this part. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. I mean, we see gold as, you know, that's like pure gold that just has so much value to it. Well, that is nothing compared to what your faith is. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you must trust him and rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You're just going to be overflow with joy, and it's going to come out, and others are going to see it. And that we do have a reward available to us because he does offer us a salvation. I had shared with you a couple years ago about my cousin Leah, who was taken home after a battle with colon cancer. And what was amazing about that battle was how she responded from the very beginning when she knew that she had the cancer. Because she didn't let it get her down. She walked with joy. She trusted in God. And her life impacted hundreds of people. You know, we just had St. Louis lately we've had a couple great weeks of talking about joy of joy, haven't we? I think we won this little thing called the Stanley Cup a couple weeks ago. And the town, and you knew this was going to happen. When we won that, this town was going to celebrate like nobody's ever celebrated before. And then we had the Albert Pujols come back. And the joy that was taking place then. So there's lots of things that can give us joy. But when we're expressing joy, even in a time of sadness, when there's a trial in our life. And Leah, that's what she did. She just walked through and she just did not let this get her down. Leah didn't have any children. But she had two nephews she treated them just like her own. And there was a little bit of gap in the age between the two. So the oldest one, Parker played a lot of baseball, played basketball, was on traveling teams. And she would go. She would be supportive. She would be there at those games and support him. And not only did she support him, but those teams adopted her. And they took on her fight and they supported her. And they wanted to let her know how much it meant for her to be there with them. And when I told you the story a couple years ago, one thing was I reached out to my aunt and I said, you know, I'm seeing this from a distance. You know, everything's looking really good. I mean, her response is good. You're there on the ground. What's it like there? And she goes, she is every bit what you see. She is just an amazing person, how she is handling this. And never once have I heard her ask, why me? She just accepted what God had put before her. And as I said, it just impacted so many lives. Even today, you know, a couple years later, you can see where her impact was on other people, how they responded to this. She walked through the pain to show the joy in her life. And it means so much, again, to be genuine about it. So a number of years ago, I received one of the best compliments I could ever receive in that I was traveling for work. We were doing some work in Denver, and we were relocating a customer's data center. And so I was working with some people coming out of Long Beach. Some of them I worked with directly, even though I was in St. Louis and they were out there. Some of them I'd never really worked before or met. And one of those folks was a gal named Carol. So we had a little break during the work that we were doing. And a few of us went out and we did some sightseeing around the Denver area and that. And as we were sitting there and we were just chit-chatting and we didn't have Bibles out. We weren't doing a Bible study. There was no theological component to the discussion or anything like that. We were just talking and getting to know each other and connecting. And she looked at me and she said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, I am. She goes, I could tell. I could tell by the way you're acting. And that meant more to me than anything that I could do standing up here or anything like that. When someone could just get to know me and to say, you're a Christian. Now, we don't always have days like that, right? So maybe sometimes if she sees me kind of lose my temper a little bit, she may wonder about it. But, and then conversely, so at work, I've moved over to some people ask me, you know, I work at MasterCard, so they always ask about the big building. And I never worked in the big building. I worked at a smaller building on the other side of Winghaven. But back in October, I did get moved to the big building. And as I walk to work every day, I walk the outer aisle, and there's a cubicle right here. There's a lady that sits, and her door's, she's usually there before I get there, and her door's open. And she has scripture posted on there and some different spiritual sayings. And so one day I stopped by just to talk to her for a moment. And it was, the conversation didn't quite go as smoothly as I had hoped, so I just kind of moved on. And I see her periodically, and I'll try to like shoot her a smile and a hi. And she just kind of, very stone faced. And I do not mean to judge, promise me, but I'm just like, when you're posting this and you're wanting to get people to read this, what are they reading here as well? It goes together. And what they're reading here needs to reflect what people are seeing on that cabinet door. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 10. And as I was reading the most current book by Louis Giglio, Not Forsaken, and he references this passage here, and I love what he said about how it talks about putting something on, and when you're putting something on, you are wearing it. It's you. It's a part of you. You're wearing it. So we can start in verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We just got back from vacation last week. So last week, my first week back after being out for a couple Sundays. And that Stanley Cup thing we had just talked about. We were down in Florida when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. Like after all these years, I cannot believe I planned a vacation and I'm not going to be here when this can happen. Kind of like when I got married in 2004, I didn't realize that the date we picked for our wedding would fell on game 6 of the World Series and the Cardinals were playing the Red Sox. Well, the Red Sox took care of that for me, so I didn't have to worry about it, but like we're down in Florida and the Blues can win the Stanley Cup. I can't believe it. So before game 6 on that Sunday, we were in downtown Disney. Well, now it's called Disney Springs. I'm always going to call it downtown Disney, but we were walking around down there before we went back to our resort to watch the game. And I was amazed at the number of Blues t-shirts I saw walking around down there. Didn't see a whole lot of Bruins t-shirts, got to be honest with you. Because people were wearing it. They were putting it on. They were showing that they were representing their team. And how many of those t-shirts said, "We want the cup"? It wasn't, "Hey, St. Louis Blues." It was, "We want the cup." So they were very much a part of what was taking place. Verse 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. And that is something that we are just sadly missing out today, unfortunately. I talked about how we communicate so much through, and people can read so much of us through text messages, you know, electronic emails, and social media. And I'm not here to say folks don't have an opinion, because you do. You have a belief, you have an opinion, and you need to exercise that belief and opinions you have. But sometimes we get into attack mode so much and attacking others, and we lose sight of what's most important, and that is Jesus Christ. There was a song a number of years ago by a gentleman named Clay Cross that talked about the different denominations and the religions bickering back and forth about different things and losing sight of what was most important at all, that it all comes down to Christ and Christ dying on the cross to save the world, and we lose out on that. And how many times do you see overseas where there are so many battles that are waged in the name of religion and losing sight and taking their eyes off what's important. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentle, how's that? And patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. You let that fill your lives, and that gets exhibited to other people then. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We have a joy available to us. We are to receive that joy. And as we receive that joy, we go out and we take that joy to others. We share it with others. We let them see it in our lives. And we let them see also, hey, when things maybe aren't going the greatest, but we still have a hope. Pastor Barry last week used the phrase expectation. We know it's there available for us. It's just up to us to receive it. I read an article about Mike Trout. So along with Albert coming back, we got to see the best baseball player in the game here in St. Louis last weekend, Mike Trout. One of the great things I love about that guy is, besides just is watching him play ball, is watching him with the joy he has. And he's not, even though he's the best player in the game, he doesn't conduct himself as, hey, look at me, I'm the greatest. He just goes out and he has fun playing ball. And he loves to interact with children. You'll see him like, I mean, if you saw when he was here in St. Louis, but the pregame, you just see him down there signing countless autographs for people. And he does that. And they talked about in this article about how he is even in spring training. Because I've been to spring training before, and sometimes it's hard to connect with the stars. But he takes his time to connect with people. And in the article, it said, over time, Trout has learned that kids often freeze up when they meet their heroes. How true is that? You're just kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's who that is. And you just become dumbfounded, right? So he disarms them by starting conversations. Are you excited for tonight? Do you play baseball? What position do you play? Do you want a picture? I look back when I was a kid, and if I got an autograph from somebody, how excited I was, Trout says. I want to give that to every kid I see to get that smile. You never know what a kid is going through. He could be having a bad day. You never know. I'm just trying to put a smile on kids' faces. Isn't that what we should be doing? We don't know what these people are going through that we come across every day. But we should be trying to put a smile on their face. Eli gives me a hard time about being somewhat social and not being afraid to talk to people, whether I know them or not. He'll say, who's that? Why are you talking to them? Well, just chit-chatting. We just moved, so getting to know the neighbors right away. And what was great was the neighbors came right up and started talking to us as well. So it's, I said, it's okay. It doesn't hurt to be nice to people. And that's one of the reasons why, because you don't know what they're going through. So hopefully just a little bit of that is sinking into him, because I had to go to the dentist last week. See, when it goes to the dentist, I have to go. I don't go every 6 months. It's probably been 5 years since I've been. Not a good example for the kids, I know. That's why I have Carmen, because she makes sure they go every 6 months, and she goes every 6 months. So I let her carry that ball. Part of it is, I think, because I've had a lot of rough dental experiences, so I choose to avoid that. And for the most part, my teeth have been fairly healthy, so it's not been too bad. But last Friday night, was eating some popcorn, bit down, and I'm going, that's not a popcorn kernel. And I'm spitting out parts of a tooth. So I call the dentist, make an appointment. So I go in, and of course they want to do an evaluation first. And then we set up a plan for the tooth. The good thing is, no nerve exposure. I don't have to have a root canal. Just got to get a crown. So then I'm like, okay, well, now I'm here. Now they got me trapped. So they make an appointment for me to get a cleaning, which shouldn't be a big thing, right? But so I don't know how many of you have this. So I have this bone in the bottom of my mouth here, right down here, that makes getting dental x-rays excruciating. And that first time I was doing for the evaluation, what are they doing? They're doing those x-rays, and I'm just like, I just want to cry sometimes because I'm trying to bite down on that thing. It's just cutting into my mouth. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's kind of tough. You got a big bone there. Yeah, we got a – that's something we can work on down the road. Yeah, we'll see. So they do the cleaning. So the hygienist comes in when I went back a couple days later to get the cleaning, and she goes, so how'd you hear about us? I go, well, my grandkids come up here. My wife brings them up here. She goes, oh, what's their names? I go, Eli and Bella. Oh, Eli. Yeah, I do Eli's teeth, and she's Eli's hygienist. And just the week before, Carmen had to take Bella in to get something checked out, and she had Eli with her. And she didn't tell me about this then, and it's actually better that she didn't, because now I'm getting it firsthand from the person that it happened to. But she goes, yeah, Eli was just in here the other day with his sister, and he came up and gave me the biggest hug. I wanted to say, are you sure we're talking about the right Eli? She goes, and she's pregnant. She's got a little 2-year-old boy, and she's getting ready to have another boy. And she said, that meant so much to me that he came up and gave me that hug. I went home and told my husband about it. And one thing she's worried about is having one boy and one on the way, is she's worried about how quickly her sons would not be willing to show that kind of, you know, emotion and feeling to give someone a hug. So it gave her hope that this boy came up, that she sees every 6 months, came up and gave her a hug. And I went home and I made sure I told him about that. I said, you know, if you give me a hard time about talking to other people, but you gave that lady a hug, and it meant so much to her. And it's not that she's going through anything real dramatic, but it did. It had an impact on her. We can have that impact on people not knowing what they're going through. And just what a positive interaction with them, and showing them joy, and showing them love, wearing the love, as she said in Colossians 3, wear the love, and then show that to them. And we don't know what that could mean to someone, what they may be going through. Just as Mike Trout said there, he remembers what he experienced as a boy and the joy that he had getting those autographs. He wants other kids to experience that, because he doesn't know, they may be having a bad day, and what that may do for them to be able to get an autograph from someone. So as we go to the title of the message, what's your emoji? And Pastor Davis Bully from Joy said, what's your message about today? And I told him the title. He goes, well, what's yours? He goes, I hope mine's smiley face. I said, well, I think for the most part mine's smiley, but you know, I have my moments where I can probably run the gambit of that palette. But that's what we want to strive for, is we want to strive to have the joy. And again, not a fake smile, but a genuine joy that's in our hearts, and to carry that and to show that to others. Father, we come to the close of this message today, and I pray, Lord, that as you speak to our hearts, you just give us a moment to pause and examine and see, are we really experiencing the joy that you have available for us? And if we're experiencing that, are we sharing that with other people, Lord? Are we letting them see that? And as we go through our days, that we're looking for folks who are hurting, who are struggling, and just being able to reach out to them. And we don't have the answers to everybody's problems, but if we just show them the love, where the love is stated in Colossians 3, let them see that in our lives. And that comes from you. And make that available to them, Lord, and that they receive that as well. I just praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.